Hi, my name is Bridget. I have a new life in Christ, and I'm in recovery for fear, people-pleasing, anxiety, and depression. Hi, please pray with me. Our God, Heavenly Father, I just ask that you would be with me right now as calm my anxiety with all these people, and I just ask that you would just soften the hearts of everyone that is in this room. And Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to share my story, which is just your story, God. And thank you for all that you've brought me through in my life, and ask that that your words would bless somebody tonight and help them through what they are going through. In your name I pray. Amen. Well, when I was young, church was more about religion than it was a relationship with God. I always questioned my parents and even the priest as to why we didn't learn Bible stories like all my friends did, and why I had to confess my sins to a priest first and not just confess them to God. As much as I questioned these and many other things, I believed in God, and I understood that he died on the cross for my sins. And for the most part, despite being a bit strong-willed and stubborn at times, as probably my family would say a little more than at times, I was a rule follower and hated to disappoint people. So I did what I was told and moved on with life. But growing up, I always felt like I was missing something in my life. Even though I had a loving family and some good friends, I struggled with loneliness and low self-esteem starting at an early age. Anxiety affected me on almost a daily basis in school with academics, starting in elementary through college, and with some friendships. In school, it was anxiousness over performance and comparing myself to others, including my older brother. And I struggled in reading and discovered when I was in college that I had dyslexia. My anxiety started to show up through fear of failure, fear of being hurt, fear of being left out of activities or groups, and fear of just not fitting in or being quote unquote good enough. During college, I developed more of an understanding of who God is and what a relationship with him looks like. I was blessed to be placed in a dorm and freshman hall with a group of amazing girls. A few of them asked me questions about my faith over the first few weeks. They had a real interest in me and not just the religion I grew up in. And I had an interest in what they were talking to me about, and they weren't judgmental at all. So I asked them lots of questions about their faith in God and the joy that I saw they had in their life. They directed me back to God's word for many of the answers. I had the belief growing up that as long as I did good things to please God and served him in different ways and tried very hard not to sin, that would get me to heaven. I had the picture in my head that from just starting a very young age that God was sitting up there in heaven with one of those like sticker charts that we have, you know, and pre-K and kindergarten. And I'm a school counselor, so we still have those. You know, that if we do something good, then we would get like a sticker or a star. Or if we did something bad, then it would be like a X. And I still had that just in my head, even though I knew that wasn't really real. That's what I had in my head, even in college. And so this life had been wearing me out, trying to please others and please God and deal with my hurts, fears, loneliness, and anxiety on my own. It was just running me ragged. The Bible says in Romans 10:9-10, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. I found out that what I'd been missing and trying to find for all those years was a relationship with my Heavenly Father. I'd been trying to be filled up and loved without being hurt by all the people in my life. But the truth is that we're all sinners and broken, and God's the only one that can truly love me unconditionally and fill me with joy and heal me from my hurts and calm my anxieties. I still have to remind myself of that very often. He sent those friends to me and into my life my freshman year to show me this. Late at night on September 18th, the year 2000, I told my friends that I needed what they had And I made the decision right then to pray and accept Jesus into my life. I asked for his forgiveness of my sins and gave him control of all that I'd been trying to do on my own. This was not easy, and honestly, I was really hoping he would just take away all my anxieties and hurts. But as we all know, he's not a genie in a bottle, so that's not the way it happened. And I had to learn to have faith and trust in him, even though I could not see him. And Hebrews 11:1, God's word says, "Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see." God did bless me with those amazing friendships and many others during college, where I learned to trust and truly be myself. Many of them are still my close friends. During that time and for several years after college, there were lots of ups and downs of dealing with my struggles of fear and anxiety, and those rolled into depression as well. And when they crept in, I would isolate and become self-conscious and rely too much on what others thought of me and stress out easily and worry a lot. This impacted a lot of my relationships at times and my relationship with the Lord as well. Over a period of 7 years, I had five people very close to me pass away. The first was a good friend of mine, and she was my college roommate, whom I had known since 10th grade. She died instantly in a car accident a few days before the beginning of our senior year at Baylor. Our third roommate and I were supposed to be with her in the car that day, but something came up. So instead, she and two other friends of hers went on the day trip. We'll never know exactly what happened, but the police thought that it's possible that she fell asleep at the wheel or became distracted. Everyone in the car died instantly. I'll never forget the moment that I found out. I lived with a lot of guilt from that situation for a long, long time, believing that I should have been in the car as well. Maybe I could have stopped it from happening. And maybe I was supposed to be the one that died. Why did Adrienne have to be the one? She had so many goals in her life, and she was impacting so many lives, including my own. I knew that she was in so much of a better place than this world, but it just hurt so much. And then after graduating, I went to live in Scotland for a year to serve at a church. And while I was gone, my grandmother passed away. I never got a chance to say goodbye and couldn't make it back in time for the funeral. It upset me so much that I came back to the States early and did not stay the entire year in Scotland. I just knew that I needed to be closer to my family. It hit me really hard. Not long after that, my other grandma passed away. And around that same time, my aunt, whom I had grown close to as I had gotten older, had been diagnosed with lupus and cancer. And after several years of treatments, she also passed away. And then in 2007, I received a phone call that I'll never forget from my mom, and I never expected this. She told me that my uncle had committed suicide. I was at work at the time, and I just was in such disbelief. This uncle was someone I looked forward to seeing every summer when we traveled to Michigan and taking his boat out and his jet skis out on the lake with him. He was so social. Everywhere we went, people knew him. Sorry. This left so much hurt for all of my family, and as for most suicides, we looked back and there were a few signs that he was hurting, but not to the point that anyone would have fathomed him taking his own life. Suicide causes so much pain, unanswered questions, and loss to those that they leave behind. If you are here tonight and you're contemplating suicide or harming yourself in some way that could end your life, please hear me say this. What you're going through right now may be difficult and seem never-ending, and suicide may seem like the way out, but please know that there are people who care about you and who want to help you. Even better than that, God cares about you. He cares about your pain, your family, your job, your health, everything about you. Give God a chance to show you how much he cares and his love. Please tell somebody here tonight that you're having thoughts of suicide or self-harm, and let us help you. Give God a chance and your life is that important. After my uncle's funeral, thoughts and pain came back up from the other deaths that I mentioned before. I realized that I had not really allowed myself to grieve each of the losses fully. It's as if when one of them died, I put on my helper hat to be there for others around me, and then I didn't take care of myself, and I held all the feelings, pain, sorrow, and everything on the inside. When my uncle died, I had just started my first year as being a school counselor, and I thought, I should be able to figure this out on my own. I should be able to handle grief on my own. I'm trained to do this, right? But not so much. Instead, it led to stress, withdrawal from others, unhappiness, and crying a lot, and questioning God's will and goodness for my own life. At this time, I took several of my friends encouragement and advice and came to recovery. Mind you, it was not the first time they had told me to do that. So it was multiple times of several of them encouraging me to come. But the first night I came, I remember being uncomfortable with everyone saying the verses and foundations all together and was so worried that someone that I knew would see me and ask why I was there. But once I got over that and over being so self-focused and realized God had us all there to work on ourselves and to work on our relationship with Him, my time was so much more enjoyable and my recovery actually started. At first, when I came, I thought I was there to deal with the depression from the loss of my friends and family members who had died, but God had other plans. It was through the trust and inventory steps that I really learned that I had an issue with trusting God and trusting others, and that it was the root of all my other struggles. My relationship with the Lord became much stronger through my time in recovery. I know a lot of this had to do with the time I spent with Him daily. At first, it was necessary for me to be working on the curriculum daily. And from that, I started searching for scriptures, journaling more, praying for God to reveal the reasons that I was in recovery, and praying for the other ladies in my recovery group. During this process, I learned that I struggled with codependency with certain friends and certain situations. It seemed to show up more when I was dealing with low self-esteem and insecurities. A person or sometimes a place can be a comfort, and then I would rely on them too much. The Lord has healed me from this, and now I can see when it's creeping in, and I go to Him now instead of going to the friend. Also, during recovery, through the steps of forgive and amends, I really began to understand the difference between forgiveness and reconciliation. I learned and began to understand that the offending party is not always a part of the forgiveness process, and that I could work on forgiving them without them asking for it or even admitting that they hurt me. That can be the hard part, but with God's help, it allows for such freedom. And reconciliation includes the other party, working through it together, beginning to reestablish trust, and moving beyond forgiveness. There were certain people who reconciliation was very appropriate during my recovery, and others that it wasn't. But this process didn't stop when my group ended. In Romans 12:18, God says, "If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone." Life has been far from perfect since I finished my first recovery group. There have been many ups and downs, as life will bring us. At one point, over a period of 3 years, I was so frustrated with what was going on in my life that I felt like I was giving it all to the Lord, but it seemed like things in my life were falling apart around me. I had a difficult breakup, which ended up involving me stepping away from spending time with a large group of our mutual friends, which ended up leading to isolation. Then, while spending time with an old college friend, he sexually assaulted me, and I'm very thankful that I was able to get him off in a way before he raped me. But this incident brought up a lot of fear and hurt from my past that I thought I had dealt with, but made me realize that I had not completely. So to explain the background, since the age of 5, I struggled with masturbation, which I always knew there was something wrong and shameful about this, but I didn't understand until college that it was a sin and a sin struggle that will still creep its ugly head in my life when I'm stressed or very anxious. it wasn't until the first time I went through recovery that I discovered that I was more than likely touched inappropriately by a male teenage babysitter when I was 3 years old, and then possibly an ex-uncle when I was 5 years old. I had memories of something possibly happening with the uncle, but pushed those aside for many years, starting in college. But when I was going through my inventory during recovery, it came up, and I felt led to talk to my mom and ask her if she knew anything about anything happening with my uncle. She was, of course, very upset and told me that she had no idea of that uncle doing anything to me, but he was an ex-uncle because he was abusive to my aunt, and they divorced when I was six. He passed away many years ago. My mom was the one who told me about the babysitter. She said that she thought something might have happened because of the way I acted and something I said when the babysitter left the house one night. But because I was 3 years old, my parents didn't know what to think or do about it back then. This was a lot of difficult information to receive at one time, and I had to go to the Lord, of course, as well as my community group and my recovery group for support. They listened and prayed with me, but then in 2012, when my former college friend attacked me, I was horrified. I felt so violated. I reached out to my community group at the time, and they were great, but I was scared to be around guys and trust others even more at that point. Why would God let this happen to me? I tried to take control of everything in my life at that point, even for a year, leaving my community group and church who had cared for me so well for 10 plus years. Bless you. It only made things worse, though, when I left. But God never left me, never left my side. He was right there through it all with me. But because I'm stubborn, never ended when I was from a childhood, I just chose to ignore God and the ways he was showing himself until I got to a certain point of desperation. He used many friends, my loving family, and situations to bring me back to him. One of my favorite passages that I hold on to daily is Jeremiah 29:11-13, which says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come to me and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." I have learned that I need to give my struggles, hurts, and worries to God every day. I need to have community around me that support me, challenge me, pray with me, and direct me back to truth. This has helped me trust him more and know that he loves me and is not out to get me. My friendships and community are stronger now because I'm myself around them, and I'm honest about my fears and struggles. God is helping me build trust back in guys, and I'm learning to grieve in a healthy way. Now I'm blessed and honored to coach a recovery group at our Plano campus, and I'm going through the curriculum with them at this time, and the Lord is showing me and teaching me so much. If this is your first time here tonight, thank you for coming and trusting us enough to walk through the doors. I know that it's not easy for many of you, and for some of you, like me, you may have been putting it off for coming for quite some time. But I want to encourage you to keep coming back. Do the lessons each week. Be open to trusting the people you're in group with. He's provided you community right here. If you are waiting to be placed in a closed group, know that God has the best group in mind for you. Trust him and try to be patient. Nothing is a surprise to him. Allow the Lord to start working on your heart right now. And if you only hear me say one thing tonight, please hear me say that God has not given up on you, and he never will. Thank you so much for listening.